Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got our good buddy Pete Sepp back on the show. Pete is Vice President of Communications for National Taxpayers Union, NTU, that organization that I've been telling you about for a long time. Basically, since I've been on the show, I've been telling you about NTU and the great work that they do out there, raising the consciousness of all of us, of individuals, taxpayers, as well as business owners, and on how their money is being, how much money they're being charged for taxes for government, and what they're getting for their money, and what can we do about it. And Pete's been helping us do that for a long time. He's our good friend, Pete Sepp. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. Pete, how many tea parties have you gone to this year?
I have personally attended about 10. Our staff combined have attended probably close to 35.
So you're one of those you're one of those radical, unpatriotic troublemakers. You're one of those guys, one of those instigators, right?
Yeah, me and a couple million other people.
Yeah. What do you think about people who consider that kind of behavior to be un-American? I mean, is there anything more American than taking to the streets to assemble, to have an attitude about something, and to have the complete freedom and liberty to do and say, you know, what you feel like doing and saying? How could anything be more American, even if you completely disagree with me, even if I think you're wrong?
Well, nothing can, and I can tell you that March on Washington we had September 12 a couple of Saturdays ago was truly something to behold. You know, the mainstream media was saying, oh, there weren't more than 50, 75,000 people there. I can tell you there are a number of mathematical ways to count that crowd, but the minimum has to be about 1,250,000 folks, and
wow.
We know that because the entire west front of the Capitol was filled. And the estimates by the media at the time of Barack Obama's inauguration said if that region was filled during Obama's inauguration, that would hold 240,000 people.
Right.
We had people spilling across the lawn.
Wow.
All the way back to the mall. Pennsylvania Avenue, 7 lanes of traffic, was full of marching people for the better part of 3 hours.
Wow. What do you think caused them to do that? Why do you think those? And they were, and they came from all over the country,
at their own
expense.
Yes, this was absolutely.
And I know people who went to that, and these are regular people. These are not. They're unaffiliated. They're not connected to any company. They're not. They didn't show up. I mean, if you asked them, they wouldn't say, "Oh yes, I'm here to support NTU. I'm one of their members." These are just regular people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the surprising part. I mean, it's even been impressive to us to see so many folks who just are not part of the so-called movement. I mean, we interviewed people using mini cameras throughout the event, and each and every time we'd ask them, well, what group are you with? And they'd say, well, I just got together 10 or 15 of my neighbors, and we chartered a bus, and here we are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible. And
What do you think that they came there to do and to see and to
generally
accomplish?
To say, why don't you listen to the people who pay government's bills? You're not listening to us. And I tell you, there were a lot of small business owners there,
yeah.
And they were chewing up income that day that they could otherwise be earning just to show up and carry a sign and yell at the Capitol, listen to me, please,
Do you think any of it sunk in to anybody there in the halls of Congress on Pennsylvania Avenue on either end? Do you think any of it registered with anyone who matters?
Well, there are some people who are, in the old term, invincibly ignorant and will not believe that this was ever some kind of grassroots demonstration. But I think it was particularly useful for so-called Blue Dog Democrats, the ones who call themselves moderates,
right,
as well as Republicans who are wondering, well, gee, I wonder if I can compromise on this whole cap
right.
and trade and health care
mm-hmm.
and pork barrel spending. No, I think they've been whipped into line.
Well, you know, Pete, it was a year ago last week that we first saw the American electorate get up on its hind leg, get off its backside and up on its hind legs and speak out, and that was about the TARP plan. It's been a year now, and I'm so proud to see this. And I would be just as proud if I completely disagreed with everything that they were doing, because, folks, there's nothing more beautiful or more American than what has been happening in the last year with regard to the electorate. 2012, stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Steely Dan bringing us back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. We built it just for you with no barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, and use our stuff. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes? We got something that will help you with your small business to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Pete Sepp is our guest, folks. Pete Sepp, S-E-P-P, is our guest. He's VP of Communications at National Taxpayers Union, and we were just talking about the Tea Parties and the electorate is getting up on its hind legs and saying, you know, we're mad as heck and we're not going to take it anymore. And Pete, in your life, have you ever seen people get as exercised about anything, the voters get as exercised about this in a non-election year as they have now?
Well, I've seen pockets of it.
But not on a national scale like this.
Yeah, never on a national scale. I mean, if you take the old California Proposition 13 movement against high property taxes,
yeah.
You multiply that by about 100 and you spread it nationwide and you keep growing that movement day after day through the Internet and the like. That's what you've got now. And the beauty of it all is, again, these folks are totally new to the notion of citizen activism and standing up for their rights as taxpayers. They're going to be a resource to keep an eye on government and make it mm-hmm. accountable for years.
Do you get the feeling, you've got your finger on the pulse of this, Pete, do you get the feeling that this is not some flash-in-the-pan thing? Or is it a flash-in-the-pan you think it's going to go away? Or do you think this is something that people have gotten a taste of and they've said, you know what, this is a way of making a difference?
Yeah, there's no way this is going to somehow fade into the background. There are, number one, too many of them. I mean, 250,000 people can show up on a weekend in Washington, D.C., maybe even twice that number. That's an indication. When you look at the number of Tea Parties across the country locally, there were easily more than 500 of them on tax day alone.
Yeah.
There are probably going to be a bunch more this coming November. And their attendance at these tea parties, I mean, tiny localities,
mm-hmm.
cities of 10,000 people, you have 500 people showing up at
right.
the rally. I mean, that's incredible. One out of 20 people in a city are that upset that they're willing to show up to a rally?
Let's talk about some of the issues that are of concern for them. As a small business owner, one of my concerns is obviously increased taxes, and we can talk about that in a minute. But the big 800-pound gorilla in the living room right now is health care reform.
Yes.
And I am diametrically, completely, viscerally opposed to the government getting in more involved in the healthcare industry. I have been, folks, this is not something that I've, as you know, this is not something that I've lurched toward just because, just in the last 12 months. This is something I've been talking about for ever since I've been doing my show, and that is market solutions, portability for everybody, and not government solutions. Government, not, I shouldn't say government solutions. That's an oxymoron. A contradiction in terms, I should say, but no more government involvement. That's the big one, isn't it, right now, Pete?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's the old phrase, "Pick your poison." That's what we're really talking about with these healthcare plans and small business. On the House side, they're going to pay for part of the government takeover of health insurance provision by raising the top tax rate and imposing a surtax on top of that. Mm-hmm. If you take a look at the numbers, and all the Bush tax cuts for small business owners are allowed to expire, and most of them will.
Yeah,
and
next, you add at the end of next year.
Yeah, yeah. And if you add these surtaxes that are proposed in the House bill, mm-hmm. we will have a top combined state and local and federal income tax rate that will exceed the People's Republic of China.
One of the things that blows me away is this idea of creating something that the government supports and calling it something that's a market competitor.
Yeah.
Now that's not even that's totally illogical, because when you've got an entity in the marketplace that's funded by an organization that has its own printing press for money, that doesn't create competition.
Yeah, and an organization that has its own police force to make people contribute to
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, that's an interesting point that Senator Chuck Grassley brought up very recently about the Senate's version of the health care bill. Now, that one, rather than raising the top income tax rate, has a huge excise tax on firms that offer insurance that the government deems to be too generous.
Right.
Also, minimum mandates and coverage requirements. And he said, well, we haven't thought through this, but what's the IRS's role going to be in this? They're going to have to determine whether everyone has insurance and assess an excise tax on those who don't.
Right.
Determine whether employers are providing affordable coverage.
And think about how much, just stop for a second and think about how much that puts the government inside of your living room.
Yeah.
Inside of your, of the envelopes that come in your mail. I mean, think about this. Think about some of the most intimate aspects of your life the government is going to have its hand and its eyes in.
Oh, yes. I mean, the IRS will also become the arbiter for complaints from employers and businesses as to whether they're providing adequate coverage.
Right.
It's unimaginable.
There's another thing that's coming up right now again. It was introduced this week by Kerry and Boxer in the Senate, and that's the cap and trade bill that I've talked a lot about over the last year. And Pete Sepp and I will talk about that and the prospects of that possibly passing after these messages. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Little ZZ Top bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me today and for being part of our day. We got our good friend Pete Sepp back with us right now. Pete is VP of Communications for the National Taxpayers Union, an organization I've been happy to tell you about for a long time. Pete, tell us about NTU.
We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan citizen group. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year of trying to work for lower taxes, less wasteful spending, more accountable government, and economic freedom at all levels. Obviously, we've got a long way to go, and we need more, many more than our 362,000 members that we currently have.
Well, and you guys also influence the tax debate internationally. You guys are very much at the heart of the tax revolt, so to speak, the tax debate in all countries, and I compliment you for that. And you've had some success, haven't you?
Oh,
internationally.
Yes, if you take a look at all of the flat rate income tax reform movements in Eastern and parts of Western Europe.
You mean like Russia?
Yes. Yeah.
Russia has a flat tax.
Yeah, Russia and outfits in Germany are now lobbying for a flat rate tax there, but at least they're cutting back their business and personal income tax, unlike here where we have the threat of them going up. And they're teaching us some lessons about hidden taxation. You know, this whole cap-and-trade bill really operates like a European-style value-added tax. I mean, mm-hmm. when you think about that energy adds value to the any good or service
Everything.
That's provided, and if you tax it by limiting its production based on carbon, if you require industries that go over those limits to pay more, that's a tax.
Well, there was the Senator Kerry and Senator Boxer introduced a cap-and-trade bill in the Senate this week.
Yes, and very surprisingly, it's even more radical than the one that passed the House by a very small margin.
Wow.
We were betting the other way, that given the fact that it did not get a lot of momentum in passing the House because the margin of passage was so small, we thought the senators would go the other way, propose something a little more moderate to try and get energy state Democrats from, you know, West Virginia coal country and Louisiana oil and gas country to get on board. They went the opposite direction, and it makes you wonder where the end game's going to be here. Are they going to try and cut a deal with some special exemptions mm-hmm. to get them on board? That's probably the course they're going to take now.
Watch those dollars. You know, Pete, I wrote an article in a blog post this year called "What If the Climate Change Zealots Are Wrong?" What if they're wrong? And it turns out that we're not that much of the cause of this. You know, what we will have done if we follow this, if we go down this road with to make the United States unilaterally complying with these new laws, and not China, not India, not a lot of these emerging countries, all we will have done will be to have made the United States uncompetitive. We will not have impacted climate change at all. And all we've done will be have brought our economy down. And it makes me wonder, almost seems like some people want the United States to fail.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the way I think of this cap and trade bill, because the jobs that are lost in the United States that would be leaving efficient, environmentally pretty efficient jobs will just go to China, where the jobs are environmentally inefficient.
Yeah, far worse.
So you're actually going to hurt the planet, because here's one thing that's a very important point, I think, Pete. Nobody is giving the American business credit for lowering their carbon footprint as we have over the last 20 years.
Yeah, they've done a great job. And, you know, the small business owner does not have the kind of cash and lobbying clout that a lot of these larger businesses do to get exempt. So
all they have is you and me. All they have is you and me, Pete, and we're not enough.
That's right. And, boy, if cap and trade goes in, small business will be the first ones hurting.
It'll be rough. It sure will be. Taxes, Pete, we got, you think that anything this year, these taxes are going to be raised this year?
I think that we will see an attempt to possibly raise gasoline taxes if they decide to debate the five-year transportation bill. I think we will see an attempt possibly to fiddle with the domestic production credit, especially for oil and gas.
What about R&D? I heard that's going to go away. May have already gone away.
It's possible that will go away, as well as alternative minimum tax relief.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Pete, NTU.org, right?
That's correct.
Thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
See you next time. Pete Sepp, ladies and gentlemen, with National Taxpayers Union. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.